Hey, welcome to True North Church. So good to have you tuning in with us today for our worship celebration. You know, when I was a kid, my brother and I used to love the Rocky series of movies. And I know they're super cheesy, but there was something about those movies that just kind of drew us in. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the montage of fight scenes and training scenes or what it was, but our favorite Rocky movie of all of the Rocky movies was actually the fourth movie. And if you've ever seen the Rocky movies, you know this is the one where Rocky faces the Russian, Ivan Drago. Right? And there's this whole, you know, just story of like United States versus Russia and like Rocky carrying this, you know, the whole country on his back. But in that movie, before Rocky ever even gets to fight Ivan Drago over in Russia, there's a fight between Apollo Creed, who Rocky had actually defeated in the second movie. He was once the heavyweight champion of the world. There's a fight between him and Ivan Drago, this exhibition match. It's supposed to be this show just kind of for fun. Apollo comes out of retirement, right? And so right before this fight happens, you see Apollo just kind of like, he's wearing this, you know, American flag get up and he's dancing around and there's this all this music playing. James Brown is up high on this, you know, pedestal thing, and he's singing and dancing, and right, and it's all fun and games in his mind. And meanwhile, over in the other corner, Ivan Drago is standing there with this stone cold look on his face. He is all business. He is there to destroy Apollo Creed. And so the fight begins, and Apollo just gets pummeled in the first and second round. And he comes back to the corner, and one of the scenes that I'll never forget is his trainer looks at him and says, "Listen, man, this guy doesn't know this is just a show. He thinks this is a real fight." And Apollo just kind of brushes him off, right? And he goes back into the ring, and he ends up getting knocked out, and eventually he ends up dying in the ring. You see, Apollo Creed made a grave mistake that day. He underestimated his opponent. He got a little bit arrogant, and when he stepped into the ring, what he did not realize was that Ivan Drago was there to destroy him. He wanted to absolutely humiliate and destroy him. His mindset when he stepped into that ring was to take Apollo out. You see, we're in a series. This is the final week of a series we're calling the Church Movement, where we have been talking about for the last several weeks what it means to really be the church. And we've talked about this idea that it's not a building, it's not an event, it's not a one-hour service on a Sunday. No, the church is this Jesus-following, people-loving, kingdom-building, devil-stomping movement of world changers. First and foremost, it's a Jesus-following movement. It's about following Christ and dying to ourselves. And if we're going to do that, that means loving people the way that Christ did. That's what it means to follow him. It means building his kingdom, doing everything we can to bring more people into the kingdom of God and introducing them to the love and grace and truth of Jesus. But here is something that we must understand today as we close out this series. The moment you decide to follow Christ, the moment you cross that line, when we start loving people, when we start building his kingdom, we are going to face tremendous opposition. We're going to face fierce and unbelievable opposition, because when we align ourselves with Jesus and his mission, what we do is we make ourselves the enemy of his enemy. The enemy of Christ, the enemy of God is Satan, is the devil. And when we decide to follow Christ, we make ourselves his enemy as well. And when that happens, Satan is going to come at us with everything that he has. And so the truth today is this, is we're not just in some exhibition fight here, like Apollo Creed thought. No, we're not just even in a battle. We are in an all-out war. There is a war going on for your soul, for your spirit. Satan wants to destroy and to kill you. There are evil forces, and I think you know this to be true. If you really think about it, there are evil forces at work in your life. And for sure, as we look around the world, as I look around the world, there are evil forces at work in the world. I love how Paul puts this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Some translations say struggle in place of the word wrestle there. In the original Greek, it actually conjures up these images of hand-to-hand combat happening. There is a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies that we can't see, that is going on all around us at all times, and it is a battle for your soul, for my soul. What Paul is saying here is the real war, the real battle is not being fought in the physical where we can see. It's actually being fought in the spiritual. And again, I think we know this to be true. If we really search our hearts and think about the thoughts that go through our minds, if we think about all the negative things that are going on in our world, they start in the hearts and the spirits and the souls and minds of human beings who make choices that are destructive, not only to themselves, but to people around them. There's a Lord of the Rings type battle going on in the spiritual realm. That's right, nerds. I just referenced Lord of the Rings in my sermon. And my concern is this, that some of us, like Apollo Creed, we don't realize it. We don't realize we're in a battle. We don't realize we're in a war. My fear is that some of us, we have underestimated our enemy and how serious of a threat he is, that he wants to destroy us. He wants to take us out. And so, as a result, I really believe this. Because we've underestimated our enemy, because we've underestimated Satan, we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention, and we're not prepared for attack. We're not prepared for Satan to make his attack on us. And as a result, it's having devastating consequences on our lives. Every day, so many of us are losing the battle. And again, I think you know this to be true. We are losing the battle of addiction. We're losing the battle of sexual sin and pornography, of greed and lust and idolatry, of anger and selfishness and pride. We're losing the battle because we are not paying attention to the spiritual war that is going on all around us and inside of us. And so the question today is, as we get started, is this. If you knew that your home was going to be attacked today, maybe tonight, if you knew that an enemy was going to come and try to kill and destroy you and your family, or to steal and plunder what you have in your home, would you fortify your home? Would you weapon up? Would you be ready? Or would you just allow them to walk right in? Would you leave the doors open unlocked? The answer is no way. You would never do that. If you knew that someone was going to be coming to attack your home today, you would weapon up. You would fight. And yet every single day, I believe this, we do this in our spiritual lives. We just let Satan walk right in. We don't even think about it. We don't think about putting up a defense. We don't think about putting up a fight. And it's Jesus following, people loving, kingdom builders. We have to recognize this. We have to put something in place, because if we don't, he will destroy us. We are under attack and we need to be prepared. And so here's the message today. If we are going to follow Jesus, if you're going to follow Jesus, be prepared to go to war. If you're going to follow Jesus, we got to be prepared to go to war. And frankly, that's the opposite of what a lot of Christian teaching is being taught these days. There's a lot of ideologies out there that say, you know what, if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be perfect, everything's going to be great, everything's always going to work out for you, and that's just not true. In fact, I would argue that if you are not being attacked, if Satan isn't doing things in your life to try to tempt you and bring you down, that's actually a problem. That's actually a problem because that means that Satan isn't worried about you. That means you're not doing anything for the kingdom. That means he's already got you. And so if you are being tempted, and I know this sounds crazy and counterintuitive, take heart. It means that the Lord is working in your life. But the real question is, what do we do? Like, how do we actually put a defense system in place? How do we actually fight back? How do we resist? Well, the good news is this today. Your Heavenly Father has given you everything that you need to fight, to put up a fight against the schemes of the devil and the enemy. And that's what I want to talk about today for just a few minutes. And so we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter today. And we're going to look at this warning and this defense system, essentially, that Peter challenges the early first century church to live out. And I believe he's challenging us in the same way today to put some things into place so that we can stand, not only as individuals, but as the church, against the forces of evil, the spiritual forces of darkness that are going on all around us. Now, when Peter first wrote this book, his first book, 1 Peter, the early church is being persecuted in an unbelievable way by the Roman Emperor Nero. He is out to destroy Christianity, to snuff it out so that it does not exist any longer. There are dark forces at work, and they are seeming like they are prevailing in the world around them. And so Peter wrote this letter to encourage the church. And he writes this 4 or 5 chapter letter. And at the very end, in chapter 5, starting in verse 8, he drops this warning and this challenge to the church. And I believe this warning and this challenge is still so relevant for us today, even 2,000 years later. Let's look at what Peter says. First of all, he says, if you want to stand up, if you want to stand against the schemes of the devil, of the enemy, if you want to be prepared to go to war, number one, be alert and of sober mind. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. The devil wants your head on a platter. Peter says he wants to devour and destroy you. He is like a roaring lion, you know, prowling through the prairie, looking for something, looking for a gazelle to devour. And so what does he say? We need to be alert and of sober mind. In other words, wake up, pay attention. Satan is always looking for his opportunity to destroy you, to bring destruction into your life. And if you are not paying attention, if you do not have your head on a swivel, he is going to strike when you least expect it. And so you must be alert at all times. There is never a moment where we should not be prepared for Satan to attack us. But then he says this, don't just be alert. He says, be sober-minded. When you think about somebody who has dulled their senses with alcohol or drugs, right? They are in a fog. There is a lack of clarity. And what happens when you are not sober, when you are drunk, right? You don't make good, sound decisions. It leads to poor judgment. And I believe there are a lot of people who are walking around in a fog. This is what Peter is saying. Don't let Satan fog your minds. Don't let him. Don't let him lead you away from sound judgment. We need to be thinking at all times with clarity. We need to be focused in on the truth of who God is and always be prepared for when Satan does attack, because he is going to attack. But he doesn't just end there. He says, be alert, be sober-minded, but then he also says this, resist him. We need to resist. In other words, we need to stand up against. That's what the original Greek meant. To resist meant to stand firm, to stand up against. And he says, to fight back. How do we fight back? He says, by standing firm in our faith. Standing firm in our faith. Notice he doesn't say by standing firm in our own power. The truth today is this, is that we cannot win on our own power. Against the schemes and the lies of our enemy, we don't stand a chance. But if we will stand firm in our faith, we have power to destroy and demolish and fight back any and all challenges that Satan brings our way. What does that mean, to stand firm in our faith? What is our faith in? That's the question. Our faith as Jesus followers is in Christ. It is in what he has done on the cross. It is in his power. It is in his truth. And when we stand on his truth, when we stand in his power, when we are locked arms with him, hear me today, there is absolutely nothing that Satan can do against you, because he will not allow it. He is all powerful, all knowing. His truth demolishes the schemes of the devil. I love how Paul puts this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." The world wages war. The world says, you have the power within. You can do this on your own. If you just have enough grit, if you just have enough toughness, you can fight this on your own. I don't know about you, but I have tried it my way. I've tried to fight the power with my own power from within. It doesn't work. Instead, this is what Paul says. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The world says you have the power within. God says, I am your power within. I am your power within. I am the weapon that you need to use to fight against the forces of darkness in this world. And he says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have no chance. Satan's strongholds have no chance against the power of God within you. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. He is the one we need to latch onto and allow to be our fighter for us. Finally, he says this, and I love this. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That word pretension means claim. We demolish arguments and every claim that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Every lie of Satan that sets itself up against the truth of God. And it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive. Think about when you take something or someone captive, right? You grab a hold of it and you do not let go. And this says you take captive every thought. So every thought in our mind, we grab it, we do not let it go. And it says we make it obedient to Christ. The only way to combat a lie is with the truth. We destroy the arguments of the enemy by taking captive every thought and being obedient to the truth. Whenever we have that thought of negativity, whenever that lie that Satan is putting in and planting in our mind, maybe it's a lie of doubt, maybe it's discouragement, maybe it's trying to get us to make a decision that's going to be destructive to our life, we grab that thought and we take it to the truth of God's word. And we allow the truth of God's word to destroy that lie. Nope, that's not what God says. That's a lie. God says, I don't need to be discouraged. God says, I can have joy in this moment. God says, don't make that destructive decision. That's going to lead nowhere. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Believe my truth over the lie of the enemy. If we want to stand and resist and fight back, it must be done through the word of God and his truth. We cannot do it on our own. And that leads to the last part of Peter's challenge and Peter's warning here. He says, if we want to stand firm, if we want to resist, we've got to do that through the encouragement and community of other believers. This is what he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. In other words, there are Christians all over the world, in your community, in Pittsburgh, wherever you happen to live and beyond, who are fighting the good fight, who are under attack as well. We must stay connected. We must be in this together. We must be reminded of the struggle that all of the rest of us who are all on the same team here are going through, because we need each other. And without each other, well, without that community, we are so much more susceptible to the schemes of the enemy. Think about a lion, right? Peter uses this imagery of a lion on the prowl. Satan is this lion looking to devour and destroy. When a lion is looking to hunt his prey, what does he do? He seeks to isolate a gazelle from the rest of the pack, right? He knows if he can get that one gazelle away from everybody else, maybe it's wounded, maybe it's just slower than the rest of them. He knows if he can do that, he has so much better of a chance of taking down his prey and making a kill. In the exact same way, this is what it's like. When we are a part of the church, when we are part of the body, when we are connected to the body, we are so much stronger together, right? I want you to imagine there's somebody standing right next to me right now. And I just decided I'm gonna grab them and I'm gonna kind of drag them away. Use all my force, all my power to kind of drag them away. If it's just them standing there, I've got a pretty good chance of doing that. They're probably, unless they're way bigger than me, they're not gonna stand much of a chance, especially if I kind of maybe sneak up behind them and they don't know I'm coming. But I want you to imagine instead that that same person is linked up, locked arms with 8 or 10 other people. Now what happens? When I come up beside them and I try to grab them and pull them away, what's gonna happen? They're gonna stand firm. They're gonna stand strong. There's no way I'm gonna be able to move them. And in the same way, that's what the church is. It is this place where we are linked arms. We are locked arms with each other. We are there to remind each other of the truth regularly, to snuff out the lies of the enemy. It is a defense system. It's a network of accountability and support. It is a place that allows us to stand firm even when in our individual, in our own minds and hearts and spirits, we're under attack. We've got these other people around us to say, no, that's a lie. That's not the truth. Let me share with you. Let me encourage you. Let me help keep you accountable as you are fighting the good fight in this spiritual battle. So I think so often we struggle to withstand the temptations and the schemes of the enemy because we are disconnected from the body of Christ. We are isolated and we are alone. And because of that, we are so much more susceptible to his attacks. The truth is that doing what's right becomes out of sight and out of mind when we are disconnected from the body, right? It's so much easier to kind of to be tempted and to begin to engage and live in our sin when we don't have anybody around us to be walking with and trying to do right and do good and do what's, you know, be obedient to Christ together, right? Doing what's right becomes out of sight and out of mind when we're disconnected from the body. And on the flip side of that, doing what's evil becomes normalized. As you are disconnected from Christ and his body, and you're just kind of out there in the world, it's so much easier to just engage in the lies and the schemes of the enemy. We need each other. We need each other because the church was meant to be this devil-stomping movement, doing everything in its power to stomp out the lies of the enemy. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is the message today. We've got to be prepared to go to war. This is what Peter is saying. This is what 1 Peter 5:8-9 is all about. He's trying to get us to understand how to prepare to go to war. This is the battle plan. It's practical. It's amazingly practical. Peter is giving us the blueprint moving forward for how to stand up in this spiritual battle, this spiritual war that we are in. He says, be alert, stay awake, be ready for attack, and when it comes, resist, stand firm, and fight back. So here's the question. I want to make this super practical today. How do we first and foremost stay alert and resist? How do we stay alert, and then how do we resist? First, if we're going to stay alert, we need to know when we're vulnerable to attack. We need to understand that there are certain warning signs. There are alarms that if we will pay attention to them, we will be so much more ready for when the devil attacks us. So I want to give you three today. First of all, we need to recognize that we are vulnerable when we're tired. When we're tired. I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I shoot my mouth off. I make poor decisions. I do things that I would never do if I had plenty of sleep and rest, right? When we're tired, we make bad decisions, and we are so much more susceptible to the enemy. When we're tired, we need to pay attention. We need to be ready. Okay, I'm tired. Satan's going to try to attack me right now. Number two, though, when you're stressed. We are vulnerable when we're stressed out. I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed, I make some of the worst decisions I make. I mean, the other night I was feeling really stressed. I ate an entire bowl of Cocoa Krispies, an entire box of Cocoa Krispies, right? There's a reason that people stress eat, right? When we get stressed, we make bad decisions, and it's not just with simple little things like eating food. I mean, it's in every aspect of our lives. When we get stressed, we are more susceptible to Satan and his attacks. And so when you're stressed, be alert. Be extra alert. Satan's going to come at me right now because I'm stressed out and my bandwidth is short. It's small. Finally, when you're isolated. When you're isolated. So when you're tired, when you're stressed, and when you're isolated again. When we are isolated, when we are cut off from other people, especially when we are cut off from the body, Satan knows. He smells blood in the water. He's going to come at us. He's going to attack us with everything he has, because those are the moments when we are most vulnerable and we are most susceptible. But second of all, we need to be alert by recognizing those alarms, those warning signs. But when the attack comes, we cannot try to resist on our own strength. We can't. We don't have the power to fight the powers of darkness, because they are strong, and we will never, inside of each of us, have enough power and strength on our own to combat them. But the good news today is this, that we have a faith in a God, in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is more powerful, who looks at the devil and his schemes and laughs, who will crush and demolish and destroy him if only we will simply allow him to fight for us in our lives. How do we do that? How do we let our faith, how do we, you know, stand firm in our faith and let Christ do that for us? We stand on his truth. We get into his word, right? What did we say? We take captive every thought that comes into our mind, every negative thought, every temptation, and we hold it up against the truth of God's word. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Every time you feel that sense of temptation, every time you feel like Satan's trying to lie to you, take that thought and go pick up your Bible and go to God's word and say, what does the truth say about this? Satan's trying to lie and get in my mind and say, you're not worthy, you're not worth it, you're a failure. No, you go to God's word and you look and you see what he says. No, he says you are chosen, that you are his child, that he loves you and he cares about you. You fight back with the word of God. It is the only real weapon that we have against the schemes of the devil, is the truth of God's word. But then finally, first we're gonna recognize the alarms, right? That when we're tired, when we're stressed, when we're isolated, that he's going to attack. When he does attack, we're going to go immediately to God's word. But finally, we're going to stay connected to the body of Christ. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they are an alarm system. They are. They're an alarm system that provides accountability, that provides encouragement to us, that helps us see the truth sometimes when we aren't seeing it. Right? I think about a smoke detector in my home. Right, when that smoke detector is connected to a battery and smoke rises up and hits it, the alarm goes off. But if you take the battery out, what happens? Nothing. There's no alarm. And so we are like that battery, and the smoke alarm is the church. When we disconnect ourselves from the church, we are disconnecting ourselves from an alarm system that could alert us that there is danger, that we need to make a change, that we need to see some truth over a lie that's going on in our life, that Satan is trying to speak into our lives. If you're disconnected from the body, you are so much more vulnerable to his schemes and to his attacks. And I know right now, it's really hard. Like with COVID going on, I believe the last 8 months, one of the devil's schemes and plans was to isolate Christians from each other. And there are so many people right now who are struggling with mental health issues, who are struggling with temptations that they haven't faced in a long time. Why? Because they're isolated and they're disconnected from the body. And so I know maybe you can't go into a church right now because maybe where you live, churches aren't open, or maybe you're just not comfortable yet. But in some way, you need a couple of people, even if it's a small group or just two or three guys or gals that you can connect with on a weekly basis to encourage you, to keep you accountable so that you can stay connected to the body of Christ. By ourselves, this is the truth, this is the reality. We are vulnerable. We are so vulnerable, but together we are a force against evil in the world. We need our team. We need our squad. When I think about, just as a sports guy, the difference between kind of being a lone ranger and being a part of a team, it's huge. I mean, when you think about even the greatest sports athletes on the planet, the LeBron Jameses and the Tom Bradys of the world, as great as they are, without their team, they don't stand a chance against a team. If they're by themselves, any NBA team or NFL team that they go against, they are going to lose without their team. See, the church is this movement of people coming together, uniting together, seeking to stomp out the devil and his lies. They are a united, the church is a united force against the evil in this world that supports each other and fights against temptation with each other. That is this movement that stands up against atrocity and injustice in the world, that goes into dark places and gives light, that takes the gospel, the truth of God's word into the world. This is the church. It is a devil-stomping movement. And those of us who are Jesus followers, we need it. We need each other. We need to be part of that defense system. You know, the truth today is that we're going to lose some battles. We are. We're going to lose some battles, but the best news that I can give you today is that Jesus has already won the war. He's won the war. And I know for me in my life, and I believe for you in yours, Satan, he wants to prey on our fears. He wants us to believe the lie and to go down the rabbit hole, the rabbit trail, to destroy us. He wants our fears to overcome us. He wants the political climate to discourage you. He wants your physical health crisis to weigh you down. He wants your relationships to be broken and shattered and to ruin you. He wants addictions to consume you and ultimately to destroy you. But this is the good news I have for us today. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus, our Savior, our King, said, "Not today, Satan. Not today. I'm not having that." You might think you're winning the war, Satan. You may have even won a few battles, but you're not. You will never win the war. Why? Because Christ has already claimed the victory. And as Jesus followers, we need to claim that victory. Christ has made it so we can be victorious, not only in this life, but for eternity. He has claimed victory through his blood on the cross. It's done. It's finished. He says, this ain't no 2020 election. The result is in, and it is final. I love how, again, the Apostle Paul puts this in Colossians 2 and verse 15. This is a verse that he's basically speaking about Jesus. He says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." I love that. In other words, Jesus made a fool of the devil and his minions on the cross, and he defeated them once and for all. This is the gospel. That even though we succumb to sin, and even though we're going to lose some battles, it doesn't disqualify us from victory in the end. Why? Because Christ has already triumphed over the cross. And when we have Christ, it means we have triumphed over Satan and evil and all of the garbage that we go through in this life. On the days when I find myself being overcome by my own struggle, the only thing sometimes that gets me through that is to remember the cross. To remember that my Savior has already claimed the victory. That is what I want for you. I want to see victory in your life. I want to see strongholds broken in your life. But we got to be prepared for war. We got to be prepared every single day to go to war. If we're going to follow Jesus, be prepared to go to war. Put that alert system in place. Recognize the alarm. Recognize that we can't fight this alone, that we need the Word of God to fight, to be our weapon. And be a part of the body of Christ. Don't disconnect yourself from them. Would you rather go into battle alone, or would you rather go into battle with an army? That's what the church movement is all about. We are stomping out the devil and his schemes on a daily basis as we fight the good fight with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as our leader, leading the charge, following him into battle. You know, today, I can't think of a better way to end this message than by taking communion together as a body. By taking communion, what we're really doing is we're remembering that Jesus went to the cross once and for all to win the war. That's what the cross was about. It was the final battle cry of Jesus Christ. It was that brave heart charge, right, to finally win the war once and for all. We don't have to worry about whether or not the war is won because of Christ and because of what he did on the cross. And so in just a moment, we're gonna sing a song, and I encourage you to just listen to those words and meditate on those words. I encourage you to just have a moment with Jesus right now. If you're a Jesus follower, to give him praise. If you've got sin in your life, to lay it down at his feet. If you've got struggle in your life, to cry out to him. And in a moment, we're gonna come back and we're gonna take those elements together. But I know that there might be somebody listening today who does not have a relationship with Christ. This is what the gospel says, that if you will put your faith and trust in him, that the war of sin in your life is over from that point forward. That he defeated sin in your life on the cross. And that if you will come to him, if you will follow him, if you will devote your life to him, he will begin to help you in every way to fight the good fight in this life. That's my hope and my prayer for you, if you are listening, I mean, if you've never put your faith in Christ. Father, we thank you and we praise you today that even though we are in a war, we are in a battle every day, we are in the fight of our lives, that you have won the victory through your blood on the cross. Jesus, I can't thank you enough for the freedom that you have given me. God, for the hope and the peace and the joy and the future that you have given to me, that no matter what I go through, no matter what struggle I am dealing with, no matter what temptation might face me each day, that I don't have to succumb to it. That you have given us a battle plan. That you have given us everything we need to fight the good fight against the spiritual powers and of darkness and evil in this world. And so I pray for each individual person who's listening or watching today. I pray for our world, God, that you would reign, that your love would conquer all, that your cross would conquer all. God, that more and more people today would come into the knowledge and the saving grace of who you are, and that their lives would be forever changed. God, we can't thank you enough for sending your son, Jesus, into this world to do what he did for us. It's in his perfect name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Hey, thank you so much once again for joining us for week 4 of the Church Movement. I hope that this series has been impactful for you. I hope that it has been encouraging for you. We're going to be back next week with a brand new series. Have a great week, rooting for you and praying for you. As always, we'll see you next time.